How am I supposed to follow that? One announcement as we're returning to our seats. We have our new directories out. You'll find them in the hallway in the back. Phyllis has been working on them tirelessly, as have y'all helping to edit them. And again, if you find any mistakes, please do tell Phyllis, our secretary, and she'll include their corrections next time we print them. So y'all have heard a few sermons already this morning, so why do you want to hear me again, right? I'm not going to preach on the topic that I was going to preach on this morning. Instead, I'm going to just share a little bit from 1 Samuel chapter 3. We have been going through a series on Christian giving and what it means to give, and I've really enjoyed having conversations with a lot of y'all during those last few weeks, and I was going to have an encore sermon on fake giving. Not all giving is good giving, as we see in the story in John chapter 12 of Judas. And perhaps y'all can read it this week and just meditate on that passage, and I'll preach on that next week. But I think it's been alluded by Stacy that I challenged the church to do two different things this year, 2012, to live more simply, to go into your room and find something that you don't need in order to live in this world, and either sell it and give it to the poor, or just donate it straight out. And I'd love to hear stories of what y'all found in your rooms or in your homes. I've been going through a lot of my clothes, and I've collected a lot, and I've realized that it hurts sometimes to give stuff away, that you got an emotional attachment on these clothes that I've worn for so long. But you know what? I don't need all these clothes. You know, Jesus today, if he were here on this earth today, he might say, if you have two shirts, give one to someone in need. And Pastor Rich would raise his hand and say, but what if I have 50 shirts, Lord? Well, I'd like to give that away, and I hope it's just the beginning of a simple life, a simpler life in my life and in the lives of all of us. Because when you learn to live more simply, you begin to give more generously. And that was the second thing that I challenge y'all to do. Whatever you gave to charities, to your church, to the poor, to those in need in 2011, try to beat that number. Maybe you can even double it or triple it. God gives us gives to us generously, and we want to give generously to others. Well, for the passage today, we're going to read from 1 Samuel chapter 3. It's in your pew Bibles on page 264. And this is a story of Samuel, a young boy, and he's being instructed to become a priest when he grows up. And the priest who's instructing him is Eli, and Eli is really, really old. They're living together, and they are the religious establishment, the leadership in the community at the time. And so here's the story of little Samuel. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. And the Lord called out to Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me?" But Eli said, "I didn't call you. Go back and lie down." So he went and he laid down. Again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me?" "My son," Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me?" Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." The word of God for the people of God. You know, I've heard this passage preached many times and quoted many times. And you know, 9 times out of 10, what the moral of the story is when people talk about it? It's, well, it's time for the young people to stand up and serve the church and for the old people to get out of the way, right? It's time for the church to be run by the young people. Here is a perfect example of Samuel getting up and taking the place of Eli. But is that really what the passage is saying? No. What if there was no Eli in the story? Huh? Yeah, Samuel would be running through the house, room after room, feeling like he's going crazy, maybe calling the producers of Paranormal Activity and asking them to come and make a movie. Paranormal Activity 4, would it be? And I mean, he would not understand what is happening, right? He may have had the ears to hear, but he did not understand what he was listening to. What if there was no Samuel in this story? Well, then Eli, I mean, he would not have heard the word of the Lord being spoken, and the word was rare. And so where would the leadership have come from? The Lord wanting to direct and move the people of God, that would be absent. No, what was necessary was Eli and Samuel for this story to work out, for the Lord to work in these people. Two different generations working together. Well, you know, in this world, we are longing for churches like this, where different generations are working together. The multi-generational church is the church that God has called us to be. We saw it in this service in many ways, right? Different generations of music, as Jesse was playing. Different generations of singers, thanks to Morgan. We see the different generations working in the life of Stacy Lee. We see the different generations here participating. I am often just dumbfounded that a church like Mount Hermon, which was mostly elderly when a year and a half ago, would call someone so young as me to be a part of this church. But maybe it was because y'all saw the need to be a multi-generational church, a church that works together. Many churches today are segregated. We have a lot of churches that are mostly older people or mostly younger people. And I think we lose a lot when we live like this. We perform a travesty upon ourselves and upon the message of Christ when we segregate ourselves in this way. The parsonage where I live, we're having a Super Bowl party this afternoon, starting at 6 o'clock. Everyone is welcomed. We invited the youth, and it's a youth function, but we're all welcome to come. It'll be a multi-generational a celebration of the New York Giants winning another Super Bowl. So come. Of course. And it's not just the two or three generations that are present here today, living on this earth, that make up the church. No, it's the many, many, many generations that have come before us. The saints, the theologians, the people that are far smarter and far holier than we are here. The people that hold the history, the rich, rich history of the church in their hands. They are the ones who are able to help us as we struggle through these big issues of living as a church. Why are we here as a church? Well, they can answer these questions. And why are we Baptists? And why do we baptize? And why do we have the Lord's Supper? And why do we testify on Sunday mornings? And why? And why? And why? They have these giant issues that can shed light on our minds who, I mean, at best, what, 100 years of experience? Well, I remember my church history professor telling a story of a young preacher straight out of seminary. Maybe he was 25. And he was called to this church of mostly elderly people. And one elderly woman in the church talked with the new pastor and said, I just cannot see how I can learn anything from you. You are only 25 years old. You're a child. You're like a grandchild to me. And the young pastor, with the wisdom that he was bestowed upon him by the Holy Spirit and those around him, said, ma'am, you're right. I'm only 25 years old. But when I stand behind the pulpit, I am 2,000 years old. Because he comes with the history of the church, the many, many generations. When we ignore these generations that have come before, then we ignore them at our peril, repeating mistakes. In the same way is if we ignore the generations that are coming after us. We learn, as we study the history of the church, what really is traditional. We got a lot of ideas of what traditional is in a church, right? Did you know that all the hymns that we sung once were new songs, and that people thought they were from the devil, some of them? And when the piano was introduced into the church, people said, this is a satanic force coming in. And maybe you've heard similar things about newer instruments coming into the church. But when you go back into history, for example, the guitar, one of the most popular instruments in the world today, if not the most popular. When I was living in Kazakhstan, their guitar was two strings, but they played music on it, and it was beautiful. You go back into history, King David, what was his instrument of choice? Well, it was what they would call a guitar. Back then, we used the word lyre, but it was basically several strings strung out, and he would jam on that, and that is what the Psalms were played with, this proto guitar. And so maybe we added a guitar this morning to the church, but it's no new thing. Our the fathers and mothers of history have sung the praises of God on stringed instruments. And maybe we'll bring in a cymbal one day, or a drum. Read Psalm 150. They have all sorts of crazy instruments in their worship service. Well, we must not confuse culture with faithful Christian living. It's a mistake that we make, and every generation can make and has made. We have to be able to have the wisdom to parse what is culture, which changes constantly, and what is the message of our lives as Christians, which is constant because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But how do we make these decisions? Well, one thing that I go to, and I think is a message that you see throughout Scripture, is that we must understand ourselves in this church as missionaries, that we don't create a worship service that we like. We create a worship service that honors God and that draws those who don't know God to us. We're missionaries. At our core, we're missionaries. I mean, I was a missionary overseas for a few years, but now I'm a missionary to Orange County and Durham County. My job has not changed. And it is the same job for all of us. We are missionaries, which means sacrifice, right? As the core of the missionary life, to sacrifice, where I cannot speak English anymore to these people. I need to learn their language. And in this world, we need to learn the language of those who are lost. John Letts encouraged me yesterday morning as he was talking about reaching out to a young couple in his neighborhood. That is missionary work. And that is cross-generational missionary work. Work that is hard, but is faithful to our calling as Mount Hermon Baptist Church. Well, as I close this service, I want to invite any of y'all who have not met our great Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who has energized us to be a force of good in this world, to be his hands and feet. I encourage you, you can make that decision today to start following our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Not an easy decision and not an easy path, but a good one. Come forward during this last hymn of invitation. And those who want to be a part of this movement that we're creating here at Mount Hermon Baptist Church, a church that is a beacon, a light to those all around us, you can join as members and commit to us as we commit to you. And if you have any other decisions that you would like to make publicly before your brothers and sisters, I encourage you to come forward this morning. Please join me as we pray. Lord, we thank you for the history that has come before us, Lord, that we can honor the faithful lives of the saints who have come before us. Lord, we thank you for the several generations that live together here on this earth today. Lord, we do ask for humility as we come to these generations that may seem strange and odd, Lord, that you give us a desire to unify and to love one another and to learn from one another. Lord, through this story in 1 Samuel, you've shown that we need one another to be who we have been called to be. I cannot be Pastor Rich without other generations teaching me and guiding me, O Lord, and vice versa. Lord, we thank you for this time of worship that you've given us, of a celebration of joy, and we ask that you continue to carry this in our hearts as we go forth from this building. We pray all these things in the great missionary who came down from heaven to live amongst us, sacrificing so much so that we may know him, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn number 192, may we stand as we sing.